You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We have got Ron Gallipoli and Billy from Greco Romance, Ron Gallipoli from Ron Gallipoli, in the studio to talk about An Imposter, which is a phenomenal piece of theatre slash performance art slash musical operetta that is coming to the basement, kicking off tomorrow night and running through till Saturday. Kia ora koutoua. How are you both this morning?
Kia ora. Good.
Good.
Great.
Excited?
Yeah.
Nervous?
Yep. Nervous, excited, knackered.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, we were just chatting off air about the pack-in into the theatre, not necessarily coming from a theatre background. What's it been like creating this work? Obviously, it has had a life before in the Audio Foundation. I think you've performed it before?
Yeah, we performed it last year at the Polish Society Community Hall in Kingsland.
That's right.
Really nice.
Mm. Very nice. So this is quite a different space that you're stepping into. Has it changed your thinking about the project at all, or changed any sort of parameters around it?
It has, but too late. Too late to change anything, except for lots of nice lights.
Nice.
Because I have no idea what I'm doing in a theatre. But there are lots of people who do know what to do, so I'm letting them improve the show.
Excellent.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, tell us a wee bit about An Imposter. I don't even want to try and explain it because I'm going to butcher it. Do one of you want to sort of give us a...
I'm going to throw that to Ron, I think.
A bit of a world overview. What is an Imposter all about?
It's set in a therapist's office. We have a young woman and her mother. They arrive. There's a bit of tension there, because this young woman insists that this is not actually her mother.
Oh.
She's an imposter.
She's an imposter.
And are we as the audience maybe like a little uncertain? Is there anything to this, or is she just being a sulky? What's going on here? That's the story insofar as
a sulky teen in her 30s.
Yeah. Sulky. Yeah, well, yeah. I think we all are or know some sulky teens in their 30s, so can relate a little bit there.
Yeah, there's an easy role for me to step into.
So that's who you're portraying,
yes.
Billy.
Yep.
Ron, you are directing, but you're sort of on stage. What's the situation there?
I'm playing this therapist, psychiatrist, who's not a very likable character particularly. But all this is taking place in a certain atmosphere of repression, which is, in some ways, the overlying theme is really questions about how people behave in situations where they don't have a lot of control, and maybe they're nudged into doing unpleasant things. Questions about how you respond to that. How much can you judge people for doing things that are quite bad when they themselves have been put under pressure and so on.
This is a really fascinating and quite heavy area to step into. I am so intrigued by the form you've chosen to explore this through, which is essentially operetta. Tell us a wee bit about why that was the angle for you, because I also was reading your great chat with Chris Cudby on Under the Radar, and you're not a musicals fan. So where's the line between what you're doing and a musical? How do you delineate that for yourself?
It's been hard for me to accept that I've written a musical.
Yeah.
It's been emotionally difficult.
Just avoiding that word at all costs. Yeah. So. But I suppose, like,
technically, you would probably argue it's a musical, but... Is plot delivered through song?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on the cusp then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've also, I don't want to mislead people, because I think a lot of people who would consider themselves fans of musicals would have a really bad time. I don't want them to have a bad time.
No.
And I also don't want people like myself who generally dislike musicals to not come, because they expect it to be something that it's not.
Yeah.
Something very spectacular and jolly.
Yeah.
Which it isn't, with a big cast and lots of overtures and
it doesn't have big dancing numbers and, you know, camp energy. It's pretty subdued and
intense.
Yeah.
So why operetta, or why even music as a method for telling this story?
The music came first. I was asked to write some songs for vocal and piano, and by Hermione, who's an amazing pianist, who's playing in the show, and this narrative emerged from the songs pretty much, so it seemed right to do it in a theatre.
And the team you've brought around it is quite the spectacular cast and crew that you've got. You just mentioned Hermione. Tell us who else is involved in the project.
Well, me.
Billy.
Billy of Greco-Romic. I'm in it. And then the other singer, vocalist, performer is I.E. Crazy, Francis LeBeau. So they play the mother imposter character. Mm-hmm. And then on drums we have Chris O'Connor. I always forget if it's O'Connor or O'Connor.
He's an O'Connor.
Yeah, all right. Should remember that. And then we have Grace, GHW, on bass.
Cool.
Yep.
What was the idea? Because this is quite sparse instrumentation that you've got. You must have obviously had quite a specific vision of who you wanted in this and how you wanted it to sound. Well, obviously, starting with Hermione was the original song kickoff point, but what came next? When did you sort of think, okay, this actually maybe needs some more people, this needs a bit more fleshing out as a sort of world around this? How did that come about?
Once I started writing the songs and they were in different voices, you might say, I thought, well, it would be really nice if other people could sing these songs. That would make sense. And once that narrative had emerged with the three main characters, I pretty much knew straight away that I wanted Billy and Francis to do those parts, and was just hoping they'd be willing.
And Billy, how did you feel when you had this project cross your metaphorical desk? I'm imagining you sitting in a big office with lots of busy business happening.
Greco-Romic head office.
Yeah, headquarters, exactly. I was stoked. I was like, because a huge Ron Gallipoli fan, I was quite intimidated actually as well. I feel like I had to step my game up actually performing alongside all these very talented people, and just trying to kind of feel the way through the music and the storytelling, and then dialogue kind of came as the last piece of the puzzle. So there's been a bit of a journey for all of us, I think, trying to bridge the gap between what we do and what we feel comfortable doing, which is the song stuff, and then this kind of dialogue and like making it all kind of flow and finding a character and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm so excited to see this. You've also very kindly given us a demo version of one of the tracks from it, Ron, called Pigeons. Mm. Where in the narrative does this sit without, I guess, giving too much of the game away?
This song is the therapist trying to justify himself, really, because he's not particularly likable, but he's trying to explain he's actually, the proverbial nice guy, you might say.
Mm. Yeah. And if people want to head along, Basement Theatre is the place it is all happening. It's kicking off tomorrow, Tuesday, the 29th of August, through till Saturday, the 2nd of September. You can head to Basement Theatre for tickets, and I would highly recommend it. Thank you both so much for coming in to speak with us this morning. We'll see you in the theatre.
Yeah.
Break a leg, we should say, in this juncture.
Very good.
This is Pigeon's special demo spin from Ron Gallipoli and the Imposter Crew.
Believe that I have saved you many times. I tell them your illness is not the criminal kind. You can return home anytime. To your real family, if you'll just give names, we don't live in heaven. All my phone lines are tapped. And the people who rule us, they frighten me too. Science. became one day a band. I pity the injured, but sympathy ends. When you drag us down with you, so you can pretend. That the dead are still living, and that history can mend. I was a sensitive child, just give name, just make up some name.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.